Is your appetite sometimes out of control? Are you unable to stop eating even when you're full? Download our new Intelligent Medicine video, Defensive Eating, Taming Your Addiction to Food. There's a physiological basis for food addiction. The food industry has gripped our brains using powerful food science. Find out what we can do about it. Go to drhoffman.com to download this important video. We will arm you with proven strategies to change your eating behavior forever. Go to drhoffman.com. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we bring back one of our favorite guests. He is literally a point-and-shoot expert because he is versatile. He has talked to us on a variety of subjects, and he has a special interest in chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. He's Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. He's one of the leading integrative physicians in this country, and he's medical director of the National Fibromyalgia and Fatigue Centers, and author of a real blockbuster book. It's an important reference for both doctors and patients. I use it all the time. From Fatigued to Fantastic. He's been all over the media, CNN, Fox News. He's been on Dr. Oz and Oprah. He is now turning his attention to what may be America's single biggest health problem. He's written a book entitled The Complete Guide to Beating Sugar Addiction. The subtitle is The Cutting-Edge Program That Cures Your Type of Sugar Addiction, Puts You on the Road to Feeling Great and Losing Weight. So without further ado, here's my good colleague, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. Jacob, it's a pleasure having you back on Intelligent Medicine.
Ron, likewise. And today we're going to teach listeners a simple way to enjoy your sugar while getting rid of the sugar addiction that is not just making them feel lousy, but can very likely kill them. So it's an easy thing if you simply have the information you need.
So it's almost like you could eat your cake and have it?
Absolutely. If not, why bother? I mean, Ron, if we teach people how to live to be 120 years old by giving up everything they enjoy, why bother? The trick is to have your pleasure, because pleasure is good, but to know what the price tag is and to know how to do it in a way that serves you. And right now, when it comes to sugar, most people don't have that information. So that's what we're going to give them today.
Okay, great. So is this an epidemic? How big a health problem do you see this as? And how pervasive is it when it comes to the types of problems that we as doctors have to treat or patients experience?
Well, when it comes to the U.S., it's almost everyone. The average American has about 140 to 150 pounds of sugar dumped into their food each year in food processing. That's 18% of our calories. That's basically our weight in sugar for a lot of us. And if you look at the illnesses of modern life, it used to be what killed people would be trauma, malnutrition, infection. Those are the big things. But over the last 100 years, because of sugar being added to the diet, we're now seeing diabetes going from being kind of unusual to now estimated that it's going to hit 1 out of 3 Americans. If you look at heart attacks and strokes, which are the biggest cause of death in this country, sugar intake is considered a major contributor to that. If you look at other illnesses that are now skyrocketing, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, pain affecting, again, chronic pain affects 1 in 3 Americans. Fatigue affects 31% of Americans. Chronic sinusitis, metabolic syndrome, and on and on. If you take a look at these, most of these have sugar as a key underlying cause. I'm not talking about that you're having your cake. I'm talking about the extra sugar dumped into our food and drinks. And for day-to-day stuff, in terms of how you feel just day in and day out, depression, anxiety, hyperactivity, moodiness. A lot of this is also associated with excessive sugar intake. So, like I say, let's dump those things. And I'm going to take that double fudge brownie, thank you. So,
right.
No conflict.
Well, it would seem a little counterintuitive for people to associate sugar with conditions that are non-obesity related. Yeah, we get that sugar is an excess source of calories, and Americans are fatter, and that can make them diabetic, and that, of course, can lead to degenerative diseases, strokes, heart attacks. That's the pathway. But how can it impact something like chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia? That sounds counterintuitive. Sugar plays a role in those conditions?
Absolutely. So let's take a look at that, because there are four main sugar addiction types. And with any addiction, if you simply tell the person you've got to cut that addiction out, it's not going to happen. You've got to get rid of what's driving the addiction. So, for example, with narcotic addiction, there may be physical pain, there may be emotional pain. You can't just tell people who are in chronic pain, stop your pain medication. You get rid of the pain, and research shows that they come off the medication pretty easily. And there are four main things that drive sugar addiction in this country. The first very common one is just being fatigued. We use sugar as an energy loan shark because it gives us a quick energy fix. On the other hand, it takes away far more energy. So we'll talk about how to...
And that sounds counterintuitive because, you know, you put gas in the car goes, right? And that, but here is you're putting excess fuel into the body, and yet somehow that has a negative effect on the body's energy metabolism. Could you elaborate a little bit on the science there?
Mm-hmm. I mean, and a simple way of looking at it, if you put gas in a gas tank, it's great. But if you pour it all over the motor, or even if you simply flood the engine by pumping on the gas over and over, the car is going to stall out. So sugar is a critical fuel in the body, and especially for the brain. And the body releases it in just the right amounts. When you put in too much, what happens is, first of all, you get nutritionally deficient. When you have 18% of your calories that are empty calories, devoid of vitamins, minerals, and anything except calories, basically, it's as if you lose 18% of your paycheck. Now, most of us out there, if somebody took away 18% of our paycheck, we'd be hurting. And the body is no different when it comes to that. So number one, this is the first time in human history where people are both obese and malnourished at the same
mm-hmm,
time.
Right.
And we're seeing that routinely. The next thing that happens is that when your blood sugar goes too high, when you take too much sugar, it'll go up a bit. That'll give you an energy boost. But when it goes too high, your body has to respond by creating balance again. So it pours out insulin, and that drives it not just back down, but because the body is used to sugar coming in forms that get absorbed over hours, basically packaged with fiber. But because this is pure sugar, it shoots it up really high. The body says, oh, my God, this person just ate a horse, and pours out insulin for the next 2 hours. Well, half hour later, that sugar's gone. And now your blood sugar continues to drop, and you get low blood sugar, which is a type 2 addiction associated with adrenal fatigue. Mm-hmm. So as your blood sugar goes down, your brain crashes. And when this happens, you're going to feel irritable. You're going to get, basically, if anybody gets between you and that Twinkie bar, you know, it's like getting between a mama bear and her cub.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, type 1 sugar addiction, people who are tired, and they reach for sodas and snacks. Type 2 are the ones where the term hangry has been coined, which is where you're angry, irritable, and it's because you're hungry, because your blood sugar is dropping. And I'm always amazed at the just downright chutzpah of the Madison Avenue executives.
Oh, yeah.
The show Mad Men, you know, and it's just you have something that is caused, a problem that is caused by sugar,
right,
caused by the candy bars, and that it's an addiction. And what happens then is they've actually trying to convince people that when they have these hangry feelings, eat more sugar, eat our candy bars. It's like, oh my God.
Or get an energy drink. Even worse is, you know, spike it with caffeine and chug that down, and, you know, that'll get you through the next couple of hours.
Yep. And then, you know, but not just that, it then doubles and amplifies the problem. So it's kind of like telling people, well, you know, you have a little bit of a narcotic addiction. Here, shoot up this heroin.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like, and this is all over the TV, you know. So if you get this, for those of you especially, if you're in the health professions, if you're in media, places that are high stress, if you're a mom these days, because you're expected to do not just a full-time job in the home, but another full-time job outside of the home. You're doing, you know, massive overtime and not even getting any social credit for it. But basically, if you get irritable and hungry, if you're in marriage counseling, if you're in divorce court, you'll find a lot of people there are there because their blood sugar drops because of adrenal fatigue. And what happens with that is during stress, the brain and body burn sugar, and the body makes the stress hormone cortisol to make more sugar and keep the blood sugar from dropping. When you have adrenal fatigue, it can't do that as well, and the blood sugar then drops as you burn it during stress. And as far as the brain is concerned, that's like suffocating. And that's when it is like you get irritable and you reach for that 64-ounce Big Burp soda with this 48 points of sugar in it. So that irritability when hungry, and if you're not sure, next time you get irritable, just take a sugar packet with you and put, you know, take a drink of water to moisten your mouth, and then pour a couple crystals of sugar under your tongue, half a packet, even the whole thing if you want. If you find that it breaks that irritability attack within 2-3 minutes, then you've got adrenal fatigue and type 2 sugar addiction. And again, let's talk about the basics, and we'll talk about how to take care of all of them afterward. So that would be the second type. The third type would be what I call the happy ho-ho hunter, where you're not irritable, but you're just going through the cabinet looking for something sweet to eat. And this is associated, especially if you have sinusitis, nasal congestion, post-nasal drip, or they're clearing your throat a lot, that kind of a thing, or if you have irritable bowel syndrome, gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation. Most often, those are associated with candida or yeast overgrowth.
Uh-huh.
Candida grow by fermenting sugar.
Right.
So if you, and they have evolved to put out a chemical, we haven't isolated it yet because people aren't really looking for it, that triggers sugar craving.
Yeah, you know, this is really interesting because they're doing more and more research that suggests that our microbiome can influence our appetite. And we actually see the microbiome or certain infections commandeering, as it were. You know, it's kind of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, commandeering the brains and appetites of the host. And we see this with toxoplasmosis, for example. It alters the personality of cats and people. And yeast somehow, this is interesting, is that, you know, some people say the yeast made me do it. Whenever I have a yeast problem, my sugar cravings go off the wall. And at first I was skeptical. I thought, you know, you're just looking for an outside agency to blame your lack of, you know, discipline and moral fiber. But do you actually believe that yeast can increase cravings?
Well, they absolutely do, because we see over and over and over again that when we knock out the yeast using natural antifungals and the medication Diflucan, people's sugar cravings go away.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that.
But this is the first time in years I can pass by the dessert tray. I can pass by soda. And it's really pretty obvious. And think about it. You know, if you were candida and you've been around for hundreds of millions of years, you likely would have evolved something to trigger your host to feed you.
Hmm. Amazing. Okay. So there really is something to that.
Absolutely. And it's very clear in practice. You're going to see it over and over. And for the listeners, and like I say, it's not uncommon to have a mix of different types of these sugar cravings. There's the four types we'll talk about: fatigue, adrenal fatigue, candida. But then the fourth type will be people who are anxious, depressed, associated with hormone deficiencies, specifically estrogen, progesterone, and men, testosterone, menopause and menopause. So in the mid-40s, it's not uncommon for these hormone deficiencies to cause mood shifts. And initially, when you take the sugar, you're going to feel better. It's kind of like when you've had one of those rough days and smoke's coming out of your ears and your eyes are shooting daggers and you walk in the bar and the bartender looks at you and says, yep, a pint coming right up.
Right. Man, you need a drink.
And a pint of Ben and Jerry's comes sliding down the bar.
That's the answer.
Because they know. And in the beginning, that helps. But what happens again, as you keep putting sugar in your body and your body keeps making insulin and it makes more and more, your body starts to become deaf to the insulin. It becomes what's called insulin resistant. And because of that, the sugars start to go up. And because the sugar can't get into the cells to be burned as fuel, so your cells are starving, your sugar is going high. And it's cell starving that then trigger a lot of these other symptoms and problems. And you become insulin resistant and you pack on the pounds because insulin causes massive weight gain. It turns calories into fat when you have high insulin. You get metabolic syndrome and all of a sudden you're off to the races. So to increase insulin sensitivity, and there's a lot of ways to do that, but again, begin by cutting back the sugar. So for type 4, I like to go with the bioidentical hormones. I think they're very healthy for people. I think lower doses are better than higher doses. And progesterone biased and testosterone in women. And I'll give it as a vaginal cream. Now, I find when I give it as a skin cream, people often stop absorbing. After about 6 to 12 months, it seems to stop getting into the bloodstream. But if I give it vaginally, we don't see that. And people just find it just works a lot better. And then the pellets can be very helpful as well. Although I'm concerned that they may be overdosing in some cases or using too high a dose. More is not necessarily better.
So there you need the help of a nutritionally oriented or hormone-savvy integrative physician, because generally it's not recognized that these types of problems are related to hormone deficiencies.
I think you're being very gracious, John. Generally, the medical profession is absolutely clueless. And if they do address these things, they're going to use whatever, not that the science shows work, not that the science shows is safe. They're going to use whatever is most profitable because this is what the drug companies are pushing to them. And they don't even know it. It's most medical education is slick advertising masquerading as science. The research is clear. What doctors are being taught is not accurate science. It's being dressed up as science, but it's advertising. And then the doctors actually have to do 50 hours. It's as if they're forced to sit in on drug company advertising.
Exactly, sponsored by drug companies. Yeah, to get your license recertified and so on, because you need what's called continuing medical education. I call it continuing pharmaceutical propaganda.
That's exactly what it is. So it actually gets kind of sad. So if you want to find a holistic physician, for those of you in New York, if I got a doctor for you, I mean, that's showing he's outstanding. You know? So for there, it's easy. The rest of the country, go to a website, www.abihm.org, not .com, but .org, A-B-I-H-M. There'll be over 2,000 holistic physicians that are board certified. In holistic medicine, and you'll go to somebody who knows what they're doing, as opposed to going to a doctor where you're trying to twist their arm and train them to learn the basics.
Indeed. Well, you know, I have to confess, you know, when I saw that you were coming out with a book about how to stop sugar addiction, I thought, well, you know, the market is really filled with books like that, and this is an old theme. You know, sugar's bad, and somebody's going to tell you about, you know, how bad it is, and maybe give you a couple of handy hints on how to stop. But you really have taken it to a higher level, because the way that you break down types of sugar addictions into subtypes and then come up with a tangible program for alleviating sugar craving is pretty ingenious. So I think you bring some new information to the field. So let's summarize again, you know, what are the four types? And then maybe in part two, we can go into some more specific strategies.
So basically, to summarize, pleasure is good. And the trick is to know what the sugar price tag is. To know the sugar price tag of what you're eating is very simple. Look at the little nutrition label. It'll say grams of sugar, divide by 4, and that's how many spoons of sugar in a serving. And then your gut will tell you right off the bat. You don't need to be counting grams of sugar, which is a really stupid way to spend the rest of your life. So you see how many spoons, divide grams of sugar by 4, that's how many spoons in a serving. You now know the price tag. If you have sugar cravings, answer these simple questions. Let's do it right now. 1. Do you reach for sugar when you're tired? If so, you have type 1 sugar addiction caused by fatigue. 2. Do you get irritable when hungry? So if you get these feed me now or I'll kill you moments. If you have that, then you have adrenal fatigue. That's the adrenal stress handler. Type 3. Are you reaching for sugar, and you're kind of happy, but you're just reaching for it. And is that associated with nasal congestion, sinusitis, or a lot of gas, bloating, or alternating diarrhea or constipation? That would be candida.
Or maybe more obvious manifestations like chronic vaginitis in a woman or oral thrush, or, you know, that's diagnosable.
Well, by the time you have oral thrush,
it's pretty far down the line, yeah.
Yeah, women with chronic yeast infections, exactly. You know, the vaginal yeast, these are all markers. And then type 4 would be around menopause or menopause. Mid to late 40s, you're starting to get irritable, depressed, so especially if it's worse around your menses, or you're getting headache, fatigue, poor sleep, not just the PMS-y stuff. Well, then that's basically hormone deficiencies. And you can have several of those. When you have all four of them, it's usually when they cascade into becoming fibromyalgia. That's basically when the snowball is rolling and it's starting to turn into this big boulder. So you have these four types, and we can teach people really easily how to take care of each type. And not just will the sugar craving go away, but you will feel dramatically more healthy.
Okay, now are we just talking about sugar and its obvious manifestations? Because many diets these days go further. They ban carbohydrates virtually, or they suggest that people eliminate certain readily available starchy products and utilize the glycemic index. Which camp do you lie in?
Ron, I grew up in a yeshiva and went all the way through, you know, to college in there, and I still remember the old rabbis, you know, with the big black hats and, you know, the big beard.
Right.
And the whole
thing. Disputing.
And what they would do is, you know, they said very simply, you know, God is our host. And if you're not enjoying all the gifts that the host is giving you, you're insulting your host. These things are pleasures, they're meant to be good. So I'm in a simple camp of common sense. Know what the price tag is for things. Divide the grams of sugar by 4 and know how many teaspoons. If you want to have a pizza or something like that where it's hard to find a whole grain one, then do so. On the other hand, when it's easy to have whole grains, you know, if you want a whole grain bread, there's some that has like cardboard. They're no better. You go to at Costco, I get one called Dave's Killer Bread. It's a like zillion grain different thing. It's the most delicious bread I've ever had. You know, so it's not usually conflict. So when it's convenient to have the whole grains, have them. Otherwise, enjoy yourself.
So your approach is not an approach of extreme deprivation. It's not a draconian approach. It's not a no-carb approach. It's basically looking at, you know, the main culprit, which is the rapidly assimilable, refined carbohydrates. And they can be in the guise of not just table sugar, but what are some of the other obvious sources?
Well, anything that ends in the word OSE, O-S-E. So, and that's why, instead of trying to worry about how they're hiding it, just look at that nutrition label. Take grams of sugar by 4. Now, fortunately, the FDA has changed the guidelines, so they're going to break it out for added sugar, as opposed to what's naturally in the food. Like, if they have raisins, that's fine. But it's the added sugars I'm concerned about. They're going to be breaking that out in 2016, and that'll make it even easier. And once you do that, you've got your price tag. You don't have to sit there and break it into 100, wonder this or that. But the bottom line, Ron, you know, is that the closer you get to a whole food diet, the easier it is. And if you can go ahead and just use common sense with it, then it works.
Okay.
You know? And it doesn't have to be any more than that. And again, if you're not enjoying yourself, you're doing it wrong.
All right. Well, okay, so this is a good introduction to the subject. The book is The Complete Guide to Beating Sugar Addiction. Today we're with Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, and we divide these podcasts into two parts. So in part two, we're going to break it down. We're going to talk about some specific supplements, specific measures of support for each of the four main types of sugar addiction. The book is a practical handbook that I recommend to you very highly. And it's available from the usual sources, Jacob?
You can get anywhere, yep.
Okay.
Go to the complete bookstore, Amazon, wherever you care to find it.
Complete Guide to Beating Sugar Addiction. We'll be back with more in part two of today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.